becoming pumped up and full of running victory.
All right, everybody, so this is a quick pod blast with myself, Timothy Robert Buckner, and QT Quentin Moody. I just always call you QT. I guess I should say Quentin Moody from Psychology is Dead. I obviously am from Lucha Undead, so I figured together we are just the dead. Quentin, how you doing tonight?
That's a pretty clever duo name, but yeah, it's really late for me at the time that we're recording this. Maybe the latest I've ever had to be up to, at the start of a podcast. But yeah, I think this is interesting since we're covering something that I don't know anyone else that has talked about this promotion.
We're going to talk about is MCW, Melbourne City Wrestling. I had a couple friends who were into the UK scene, particularly the South Pacific Power Trip, and Power Couple before they were the Trip, who kind of were so into TK Cooper, Dahlia Black, and Travis Banks that they got super excited about the Australian New Zealand scene in general. And then started telling me stuff like, oh, this is the next big breakout scene. Oh, this is like the UK scene from a few years ago. It's going to be a huge deal. And I really didn't buy into it because I knew that there was a basis for the UK scene that was bubbling up. And that's why it was able to explode the way that it did. The way I saw it, you've got guys like Noam Dar, Zack Sabre Jr., Chris Brooks to a lesser extent. But you've got Bird Boar. Jimmy Havoc, Finn Balor, who left pretty early on when they started to break through, who are all relatively young, but also guys who have a decade plus experience in wrestling, that were all essentially poised to just have the exposure to break through. So that's kind of where I was coming into the Australian scene. Quentin, what about yourself? What was kind of your impetus for wanting to check out the Australian scene more?
I think it comes from the fact that I was so heavily into the UK scene. You knowing me about as good as anyone when it comes to my wrestling taste knows that I like being in like the ground floor and like learning about burgeoning scenes. And Australia and even to some extent New Zealand was something that was always on my mind, because when you have people that were crossing over to other platforms outside of Australia, like Evie and Kellyanne and like TK, Travis, and Dahlia, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, even Buddy Murphy, like when there were so many people from Australia that started popping up in so many places, my interest in the scene as a whole started to peak. And that's when I decided maybe it's time to jump into Melbourne City Wrestling.
So we both popped on, I think. I just watched the two most recent shows. I think you watched more than that. I guess first takeaways, I think I watched the shows out of order. I watched the Keep It 100 show first and then the Clash of the Titans. I regret that quite a bit. Clash of the Titans was much better. And if I had watched that first, I probably would have been more invested in the company as a whole. I felt Keep It 100 opening up with the World's Friendliest Bastards. Love them. Fantastic act. I think it's really good, but I had no backstory because of it just opening up with their match. So I was out of sorts. If I had watched Clash of Titans first, I mean, they had this pre-match promo that was just ridiculous, that really kind of told you what they are and made me like instantly understand it. But this, they come in, they're wrestling Preston and Payne. I think, I don't know what Payne's first name was, but I think Payne threw some really just sloppy-looking, reckless arm drags in the match that really made me question the scene overall. And then there is some stuff to the Australian natives that you can tell that they are lacking in some fundamental areas. Their stuff can look a little sloppy, a little bit like they didn't drill and they haven't practiced enough or haven't been trained by archetypal, like, maestro types, because they just don't have those people in Australia training people. A lot of these wrestlers were trained by Travis Banks, who is phenomenal, but he's also not a guy who has that much experience. And, you know, he's not going to compare to people in Chikara who are getting, you know, trained by Rudy Boy Gonzalez, or, you know what I mean? Like along those lines, or even people that are getting trained by Negro Navarro, or, you know what I mean? So you kind of get where I'm coming from with that side of it, Quentin, but like, what were your first kind of takeaways when you started watching?
The main thing, and I think this is what caught both of our attention was the way they used video packages. And the way they use video packages is really unique, and like the only other company that you could say tries to use video packages as much as MCW does is honestly WWE, because they were playing vignettes, video packages, backstage segments, interviews, these like weird gothic videos, like it's really intriguing how they use them. And that was one of the first things that stood out to me about the promotion, is that I think they were more artistically invested in video production than most other wrestling promotions I've seen in quite a few years.
Yeah, and they really, you compare it to WWE, I could see the WWE comparison just for overall quantity. And the
it's more a quantity thing, because no one else focuses on them like that. Like, if you're speaking quality, then DDT, Dragon Gate, places like that have really awesome video packages, but they're not playing them between every single match the way MCW is.
Yeah, and I think that was the next place I was going, and I think you made the comparison that I was almost kind of reaching for in my mind, that it wasn't quite there with DDT, where I think that the tone of the video packages fits more with DDT, and even not even necessarily just the video packages, but the overall tone of kind of how you can go off the wall in DDT with some stuff.
Yeah.
In these video packages, they definitely did. As I talked about on the Clash of the Titans, the pre-match video before the World's Friendliest Bastards versus Payne and Preston in the ladder match was kind of part Sesame Street, part La La Land. It was like a musical. They were singing. They were talking about Lockie Hendricks, or I guess it's pronounced Lucky, but Hendricks trying to get a girlfriend and dating the merch girl, while Cracker Jack is literally talking to him from out of a trash can. So the whole thing was insane, and this is leading up to a ladder match that has table spots, barbed wire, a Spirit of 76 spot with his partner getting taken out, handcuffs, man blood. On woman violence, blood, and yeah, they led into the match with, as I said,
with a fucking musical,
yeah, about love and finding a girlfriend, and it was just kind of amazing. And it really, the ladder match itself really made me love Lucky Hendricks a lot. But the video, I mean, puts it over the top with the singing and the goofy character, and he just, for, I guess, lack of another comparison, he comes across to me like an Australian male Bailey. Just super likable, childlike, interesting, and fun. And I think a guy who's got a lot of potential, a lot of upside. He definitely stood out for me. We got Josh Shooter in a Loser Leave Town match. He's now one of the many Australian guys who have gone to the UK to start kind of working there. So that's going to be interesting to see what he does. I think we both kind of talked about Alex Kingston, but who kind of stood out for you?
Well, right off the bat, sticking with Clash of the Titans, Alex Kingston really impressed me. And before I get into Alex Kingston, I have to say his opponent, JXT, I thought he was a little surprising, because I know when you first saw him, you said, oh man, is this a JXT guy, like some kind of facade ripoff? Like, and I told you, wait a bit. He's more like Juice Robinson. And then you came back saying the same thing. Like, yeah, he's more of like that Juice Robinson stereotypical babyface mold. And he's very good at it. But I thought Alex Kingston was, like, super crisp, great facial expressions. The way he moved around, he seemed more polished than a lot of people that were on the show. I think the problem with Kingston is that he's located in Perth, which is all the way across from where the show, well, from where MCW is located. So I don't think he's a regular, but Alex Kingston, even if he doesn't show up at MCW that often, I think left a very big impression on me for the first time.
Yeah, and that is kind of an issue with the Australian scene that's going to, I think, hamper it in comparison to, as we were talking earlier, in comparison to the UK scene and how it broke out, is that the UK scene, a big part of what helped it was that you got your guys and you got into them, and then you could watch them have great matches all over the place and show off their different styles and different settings. And unfortunately, it looks like Alex Kingston, he's an EPW regular more just based on where he lives. And he's not going to show up in MCW. And, you know, right now, MCW is the one who put their stuff up for a subscription service. That makes it a lot easier than trying to buy each show individually. It makes it a lot more conducive to me paying attention. So unless the other Australian companies kind of follow that same model at a relatively inexpensive price, or even if someone puts together something similar to the Your Fight app, UK indie wrestling, you can buy one sub that's like $3.99. It's like £3.99 for like five or six companies. Unless the Australian company does that, for me, it's going to probably be I'll follow MCW, or I'll pick whichever one has a decent distribution model that's cost effective, and I'll just stick to that. And it will hurt some people getting a chance to stand out. So, realistically, what do you think about yourself? Like, what's your plan to continue following this company or the Australian scene in general?
I think that's going to be more about social media. How do you, like, how many people, promotions in Australia that you're going to be following on Twitter or keeping tabs on? It is something that is going to hold the scene back if more people don't follow suit. Like, when people talk about the UK scene, and a lot of people just, like, seem to act like it happened out of nowhere and, like, progress, like, magically spawned and, like, everything in the UK changed. Well, everything in the UK, there was, like, people offering completely different products. You had ICW, you had Progress, you had Rev Pro, even IPW UK before the Rev Pro split. So, like, you had different products, PCW, another one, that were offering, like, completely different tones, using different guys. So in the UK, you still had a lot of variety and people uploading their stuff. With Australia, I can't speak to the variety because obviously we only have Melbourne City Wrestling to go off of. But in terms of people that are putting their content up for people to see, there's going to be a problem with them catching up if more promotions don't follow suit. And I think this is where we get into a little speculation territory, because with so many Australians and New Zealanders still going over to the UK, you have to wonder if the Australian scene will continue to grow, if they continue to have people try to migrate to the UK, where they see big things happening for TK and Travis. And if people continue to move, like, how does the companies that these people are based in, or the locations, what incentive do they have to continue to try putting out their content if people are just leaving?
Right. It does become a talent drain, where if people are leaving as soon as they get any kind of buzz going, then what good is it for you? And it's kind of an uphill battle to try to compete. So, I mean, another issue, and this is completely off topic, would be Brexit and how that visa situation starts to affect imports into coming into the country. But again, that's all speculation and not necessarily what we're here for. Before we go, because we are coming up against, I think, what a pod blast is officially allowed to be.
this is an official time limit?
I mean, there's an unofficial time limit, which means, like, it has to be short enough, I guess, or else we'll get cut off. I guess before we take off, like, what were some other big things that stood out for you? I think for me, the women, especially Kellyanne, I already knew Evie, but Kellyanne was kind of a new revelation to me, just how good she is. What's some other kind of things that you think you have to talk about that stood out for you?
Yeah, I'm surprised you hadn't seen Kellyanne before. She's really great, and I thought if that was your first time seeing her, that was, like, the perfect match, because she definitely looked vicious and looked like a world-class performer in a match with Evie. I like Elliot Sexton a lot. I think he has a look that, obviously, the landscape of WWE has changed, but he's the type of guy that I wouldn't be surprised if WWE had eyes on. The main event of Clash of Titans between Dowie James and Adam Brooks, a 30-minute Iron Man match. And I thought it had a lot of typical Iron Man tropes. It did the thing that annoys me the most in Iron Man matches where no one can get the fall. Like, I think that's a really annoying trope where they like take it all the way to the last second and do overtime. I think that's very tiring. But I do think those guys showed flashes of having a lot of talent. And I want to go back and look at their previous matches together because Adam Brooks definitely has a lot of charisma, and I think he has a lot of athleticism and skill that makes him very intriguing. And Dowie James is a very good top baby face from what I see, and I am very interested in seeing how like those two develop.
Yeah, I really liked Dowie James a lot. I thought that they filled out the match well. Adam Brooks was also really good, but Dowie James to me comes across like a nice hybrid of kind of technical style, but in a way that I think could be accessible for a lot more people than some of these guys. Like, I hate to even say it, but I think that Travis Banks, who's not super, even super technical either, is like a guy that I think goes over some wrestling fans' heads if they're not kind of open to stuff that gets a little bit over the top. And I think that Dowie James can be a lot more grounded and probably get a lot more attention from all sects of fans. Elliot Sexton, as you said, fantastic. I thought great look, good size, and in this feud with Mr. Juicy playing the kind of Stone Cold, I'm not your friend anymore, betrayed heel, he's actually doing some really great character work there. Mr. Juicy was a guy that I was familiar with, but I kind of like him a lot more in this serious setting with this blood feud with his best friend. I think that's actually over the two shows, having those two matches from them was actually done really well. So I think the thing about MCW is that they're doing what people are begging for from a lot more companies, it seems. It's probably part of why it's part of what made the UK scene explode is they're doing a lot more story stuff, and the pre-produced video stuff definitely helps, but I mean, that's what people want right now, especially people like me and you, is we've seen almost all the great in-ring action that there is, but I want some story. I want something that hooks me into the emotion of the matches. Can you agree with that?
Yeah, and that's what's going to set MCW apart going forward, and that's why I hope that they continue to keep putting content up, keep uploading their stuff from the backlog. So if people really want to dive into MCW, and if they are this type of promotion that has this very well-told interweaving of the promotion kind of storytelling, that's going to make it very appealing for someone like me that values the promotion having stories that span across every single performer. And like, we made jokes about like the video packages and how like goofy they were, but the fact that they're putting so much effort into it is something I value a lot. They're putting effort into being different. They're putting effort into doing something that no one else really does on that level. So despite how weird the thing what they do might seem at first for people, I guarantee it is worth sticking with it, because even if it doesn't, like, even if everything they do doesn't land, you have to respect the ambition.
Yeah, it's definitely, I would say, give it a shot if you're, again, about, like, if you're like me and Quentin both here, and you're looking for something that is a little bit different and has that storyline and that emotion, this is definitely a good company to get into because it looks like they really invest in their characters. Otherwise, I guess, Quentin, is there anything that you just, like, have to plug or tell people about or direct people towards?
There should be an episode of Psychology is Dead coming out either this weekend or sometime. Everything is done, but it is myself and Brock again, and it is titled The Art of Age. So whenever that comes out, I would definitely say give that a listen if you have the time.
Yeah, all right. Well, nothing, I guess, that I need to plug. Just, follow me on Twitter at Lucha Undead. Same old from me.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. out of this world.